2012. Members, we have a very long agenda this afternoon here, so we need to stay on time. I would like to have votes on each and every one of these bills. So we're going to start out today with Senator Gazelka, Senate File 1945, wolf hunting and trapping authorization.
Thank Senator Gazelka. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This Senate File 1945 is the wolf hunting and trapping legislation. I'll tell you quickly that I saw the Timberwolves beat the Los Angeles Clippers last night by 1 point. They're the Metro Wolves, so now we're going to talk about the real deal.
Real thing, yeah.
Members, as many of you know, a few months ago, the gray wolf was delisted and considered fully recovered in Minnesota. Last year, I offered an amendment that when delisted, the DNR could immediately set about to provide a wolf hunting and trapping season instead of having to wait 5 years. The wolves have now been taken off the endangered species list, so beginning January 27th of this year, wolves were returned to the state for management. State statute divides the state into two management zones. Zone A is north and east of Brainerd, considered their normal range, and Zone B the rest of the state. In Zone A, owners of livestock and domestic animals may shoot or destroy a wolf if it possesses an immediate threat to their animals. That's what happens right now. Zone B can shoot or destroy a wolf at any time to protect livestock and domestic animals, even if there's no immediate threat. We are now also setting a course for an appropriate hunting and trapping season to properly manage this unique and wild species. Our goal is to reduce their numbers to appropriate levels determined by the DNR to maintain a healthy population of wolves. In 1992, the Federal Wolf Recovery Plan identified a recovered population of wolves in Minnesota to be between 1,251 and 1,400 wolves. We now have a probability of 3,500 or more. However, it's difficult to estimate. This bill makes hunting and trapping of wolves a piece of good wolf management. My intent is to give the DNR some flexibility with some clear guidelines for what the beginning of a wolf season will look like. One component is that the DNR will begin the season no later than the opening of the first day of the 2012 firearm deer hunting season. Deer hunters will be able to shoot a wolf during rifle season if they also have a wolf license. I would prefer to have license purchased over the counter at a low fee so that many deer hunters would have an opportunity to hunt the wolves, but I've come to agree with the DNR that until we get good statistical data, we should proceed with caution. As we start a wolf season, we should proceed with caution. The DNR will likely do a lottery for a specific number of licenses. I think the number of wolves taken will prove to be low taken by this method, but I'm willing to be cautious this first year. My intent next year is that with proper statistics, move to an over-the-counter tag purchased along with deer hunting licenses. Even with this approach, I don't think we'll reach the numbers necessary to keep the total number of wolves in balance. The DNR will also likely establish a separate trapping season and perhaps rifle and bow season with different rules for a trophy hunt season. My bill will give them the authority to set the date and number of wolves taken for this season. And finally, just on a personal note, we need to find a balance. We're not trying to wipe out the wolf. We want to bring him into a managed number. For me personally, I have a 10-year-old daughter that has a wolf calendar with 12 pictures of the Timberwolf, and she is very very sincere in telling me, "Daddy, don't hurt the Timberwolf." So that's the balance on the other side. On the other side, I can tell you my mom lives up by Ely. She's 82 years old and lives right next to Bearhead State Park. She walks a half a mile to get her mail. That's her exercise. And one day she looked in the woods, and there was a Timberwolf looking at her. And as she walked back, the Timberwolf walked parallel back to her. When she stopped, the wolf stopped. She walked some more, the wolf walked some more and stopping. That, to me, is a form of a curiosity about what that thing is that you're stalking. And so it's the balance where we find the proper number of wolves, we make sure that they have a healthy respect for humans, and this bill, I think, does that. So I will just briefly, Mr. Chair, talk about the sections, and I can go into more detail if we need to. Section 1 removes brush wolf in the definition. Section 2 provides that the revenue from selling wolf licenses is dedicated and appropriated to the DNR for wolf management, research, damage control, enforcement, and education, but all related to the wolf. Section 3 says if you're under age 16, trapping provides that wolves may not be taken by a person under 16 who are trapping without a trapping license. Section 4 to 6 deals with lifetime licenses and provides that a person with a lifetime hunting license does not include the trapping of wolves. Section 7, a resident wolf hunting license fee is established at $30. I can tell you the DNR's request was $50. Section 8 is non-resident wolf hunting license fee is set at $230. That was the same as the DNR. Section 9, wolf trapping license establishes a wolf trapping fee at $30 and for residents only. Section 10 and 11 deal with firearms and ammunition to take wolves and provides that the firearms and ammunition allowed to take big game are the same firearms and ammunition allowed for wolves, so the same as deer. Section 12, bow hunting for wolves, provides that a bow used for taking wolves must have a pull of 30 pounds or greater. Again, that's the same as for a deer. Section 13, hunting hours for wolves, provides the wolves may be taken 1/2 hour before sunrise and 1/2 hour after sunrise, same as deer. Section 14, non-residential trapping prohibits non-residents from trapping. 15, license exceptions provides the landowner and residents under age 16 may not trap wolves without a wolf license, and that person may not take a wolf without a small game license. Section 16, party hunting provides that small game party hunting provisions do not apply to the taking of wolves, similar to turkey hunting. A person licensed for the same zone may assist a licensee as long as they do not tag the wolf. 17 allows the DNR to restrict the taking of wolves and designate areas where taking is prohibited, so we're giving that authority to them. Section 18 is more technical. Section 19 provides that a person may not take a wolf without a wolf license and allows the DNR to establish the open season, open areas, daily possession, limits on hunters. This section establishes a $4 fee for wolf licenses for the application and then allows the DNR to establish the quota. So we want them to work with us on this. Section 20, wolf predator control, eliminates the $150 amount for predator controllers and allows the DNR to establish a fee by written order. 21, the wolf carcass requires the wolf carcass of the wolf with the pelt removed for registration with a state wildlife manager. It's easier to take that off right away than wait. Section 22 directs the DNR to amend the rules to set the restitution value for wolves at $500 instead of the current $2,000. Section 23 deals with snares. I believe our language will be slightly different than the House, but the House would be the language we would adopt. Section 24 directs the DNR to have the 2012 and 13 wolf hunting season start on the deer opener and then have trapping season start on January 1st. And I think eventually, members, we will change that January 1st part during this discussion. That is a general overview of the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Gazelka. Good job describing the bill. Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair, I would like to amend Senate File 1945 on 4.16, striking $30 and inserting 26. The reason for that is that it would be easier for your license then.
Well, Mr. Knopf, work that out. Is that pretty much just is it going to be in several areas there? What page was it again?
Mr. Chair, I think it was on page 4, line 16. Deleting 30 and inserting 26. And then I think also you would need I think, Senator Deems, would you want the fee for trapping to be the same?
Correct.
So then, Mr. Chair, also on page 5, line 11, you would want to delete 30 and insert 26 also.
Mr. Chair, I would consider that a friendly amendment. That is the House language.
Members, any questions about that change? Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to ask Senator Deems, you know, we've got some problems with the Game and Fish Fund and raising money for that. Why wouldn't we just change it both to $30?
Mr. Chair, Senator Saxog, the funds for this are going to go solely towards wolf management and issues. And as it is right now, it will generate over $100,000 of revenue to the state as it is right now. So you know, it's going to flow just to this account anyway, and I think it's reasonable to be close to the dollars we want.
Mr. Mueller has some
Mr. Chair, this wasn't a particularly smart thing for me to say because you're going to change the I was going to change the deer hunting in there, but I mean, so this really isn't a change to this bill. The idea would be the reason, and it's a good reason, to lower the wolf hunting to 26 was to match the deer. I'm just saying if we've got a problem with funding, why don't we leave the wolf where it is and raise the deer license to 30? And I realize it has nothing to do with this bill.
It's certainly going to be an issue. There's no question about it, Senator Sachs. So you know that's coming.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I would recommend.
In fact, why did you remind me of that, actually? Mr. Mueller has some questions.
Just
points to the.
Mr. Chairman and members, quickly about the revenues in the bill. I didn't hand out a fiscal note yet because it's preliminary, but just quickly, the governor's or what the DNR's original proposal at $50 would have generated $400,000. The bill as introduced at $30 would generate $232,000. And now with the amendment, bringing it down to $26 would go down to about $256,000. Well, I mean, it would have been $280,000, I guess, at $30. And now this will bring it down to $256,000. But the expenditures the DNR was expecting to have was going to be about $167,000. So this would still cover the expenditures that were expected for wolf management.
Still leave just a little under $100,000 left over.
Right. As a surplus for, you know, future activities or future increase in management or whatever. So,
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did that, Mr. Mueller, did that include any account fund for depredation?
Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and Senators, I'm trying to see here. It's basically covering their current costs that they are currently doing, and maybe someone from DNR wants to come up, but of the they're expected to spend $232,000. They're already spending $65,000, so $167,000 in new costs. Whether that covers depredation or not, I'm trying to see here in the preliminary note, and maybe the DNR wants
Mr.
to come
Bogus.
Up.
Mr.
Bogus. Question for Mr. Miller.
Mr. Bogus, would still answer that question.
Mr. Chair and members, Ed Bogus, Director of Fish and Wildlife for the Department of Natural Resources. The fiscal note only addresses the cost of managing a wolf season. It does not address wolf damage control or compensation for damage.
That's correct. Senator Keeley.
Yeah, Mr. Mueller, on that number that you're using, does that include the $4 application fee? So that's the change to just reducing it by $4 on the just taking the wolf reduces it by how many thousand?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kielash, it brings it from $280,000 to $256,000. The application fee isn't changing, and that is generating about $100,000 of that within that amount.
Okay, so you're looking at about $25,000.
$24,000. Oh, $25,000
applicants.
Okay. Yes.
Members, I just got a reminder from Senate Media. They would like you to talk into the microphone a little bit more clear because it's not apparently being picked up. So, any further questions so far on the Dames Amendment?
Mr. Chair, one quick question Senator related to that for Mr. Mueller. What did we? Because it was a preliminary fiscal note. How many people did we calculate were applying for the application? What was the number?
Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, it was 25,000.
Okay. Mr. Chair, that easily could be a bigger number.
I think it's somewhat of a guesstimate, I would guess. So any further questions with regards to the Dames Amendment? And that amendment Mr. Knopf, it's been some time ago. Just refresh it, and we'll go ahead and vote on it.
Mr. Chair, that amendment is on page 4, line 16, delete 30 and insert 26, and page 5, line 11, delete 30 and insert 26.
To that amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. Any further questions about the bill before us?
Mr. Chair, I would like the DNR.
You really have to speak up now because I'm having a hard time hearing.
I would like the DNR to come forward. There's a couple of areas that they would like to make adjustments to that I'm favorable to that I would like them to explain.
Certainly. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Kathy Don Carlos, DNR Fish and Wildlife Deputy Director.
This one.
So we have, Mr. Chair, committee members, we worked with Senator Gazelka last week and pointed out two sections that we were proposing to amend in the Game and Fish Bill, the Senate version. And those have to do with the application fee language, which begins in Section 19, Subdivision 6 on page 7, and then goes to page 8. And this is just a technical change. The revisor's office advised that we drop on 8.1 the reference to Section 84.027. So the sentence would actually read, the $4 application fee is appropriated to pay for costs associated with conducting the wolf license drawing and wolf management. So it would just be deleting that reference.
Mr. Knopf, have you got that? What does that do?
Well, Mr. Chair, what that does is the reference is, I think, to electronic licensing. That's in there, and that's kind of inappropriate for the application fee. So what it would be is on line 8.1, delete everything after appropriated. And line 8.2, delete everything before the word 2.
Everybody understand that? Can you accept that as an oral amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions for that amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. Is there anything further from the Ms. Don Carlos?
Yes, Mr. Chair. There's two other sections. The section beginning, the section 23 dealing with rulemaking, use of snares, the original language that we proposed in the Senate Game and Fish Bill was temporary language, and since that time when we submitted it in January, we've had the chance to consult with biologists from the Alaska Fish and Game Department, and we would like to propose different snaring language. Unfortunately, although the language went between DNR and Senator Gazelka's office, it didn't wind up in your hands today. But it was adopted in the House Game and Fish Bill last week. So it's the same snaring language as in the House Game and Fish Bill.
And Mr. Chair, I'm okay if we don't do it now. I just wanted people to be aware that that was my intent, if this goes to conference committee, that we would adopt that.
This has a couple of stops yet, members and Senator Gazelka, so I'm yep. Assuming you can work with them as the bill goes forward. So,
yep.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Gazelka, I don't know if this would be for Mr. Bogus or Ms. Don Carlos, but I'd like the DNR to get on the tape and talk about what they're going to do when the season is closed. I understand that Hunter's going to be responsible for calling in and finding out what the number of wolves that have been taken is as to whether there's any more to be allowed or not. But I'm a little bit concerned that on the day that the trapper calls in and finds out that the season is now closed, that he will go out to his trap line and find one or two wolves in the trap. I'd like to make sure that the trapper isn't going to be issued a citation for that, and I'd like to know what the DNR is thinking of doing. Are they going to adjust the quota upwards a couple wolves, or are they going to confiscate those wolves, or what their plan is for when the season closes? Because I think that could be a source of some confusion and conflict, and I'd like to know what your thoughts are.
It's Don Carlos.
Mr. Chair, committee, we have had extensive discussion with our Division of Enforcement about that, and the way we plan to, at this point, the way we envision the season closing would be communicated via the Internet, through a telephone message. There'd be various ways, a press release. This information would be gotten out very quickly. We'd also probably anticipate things like you're describing happening, and so we'd probably start moving to close the season when we got within a certain amount of the quota, just assuming that that we're going to have some of that occurring. As far as what would happen, we're working with enforcement now, and we would take all of that. We would look at it on a case by case basis. We know people, especially trappers, need time to get out and remove those traps. So we appreciate you bringing it up.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Senator Gazelka, what I would hope is as you go through the process with this, that you have my concerns here, and if you don't get satisfactory answers from the DNR, maybe we would put a little guidance in the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, yes, thank you.
Thank you for that. Members, any further questions? Senator Kielash.
Yeah. Ms. Dunn, Carlos, I'm wondering about Section 24, the wolf season. I know that's not what the DNR originally proposed. Just could you talk about that? And one of the things I'm wondering about is for trappers, my understanding is that November is not necessarily prime pelt season yet, and that having the season start later was one of the reasons the DNR was looking for a later start after deer season. Could you just expand on that? And what happens if you hit the quota before the prime pelt season for those trappers? So.
Ms. Don Carlos.
Mr. Chair, committee members, the question regarding the language being different than what the DNR proposed in the Game and Fish Bill, first I'd like to address the last sentence about establishing the trapping season to begin January 1st. Mm-hmm. In discussions with Senator Gazelka, we did talk about that, and he recognized that sentence could probably be deleted so that trapping could commence earlier in the season. And
Mr. Chair, in fact, I would like to move as an oral amendment that on line 10.23, the last word, the, that we delete that, and all of 10.24. That would give the DNR the choice of when to begin that trapping season.
I'm sorry, Senator Gazelka, are you talking page 10? This is on.
Page 10, line 10.23, the very last word is the, right?
Yes.
And we would delete that and all of the following line, 10.24. That would allow the DNR to choose when to begin the trapping season because they, and I think rightly so, believe it should begin earlier. And I've gotten emails from trappers as well that some years the snow is very heavy by then. It would have made sense to start earlier.
To that amendment, Ms. Don Carlos, then this is something that you normally do with trapping already. You're able to set these seasons. Is that correct? So this is nothing out of the normal then?
Mr. Chair, no.
Okay. All right. Just so everybody knows that. To that amendment, would you repeat it again? I guess it's pretty straightforward. It starts on line 10.23.
Mr. Chair, I might add just some one thing to it. I think in the head note, we should say the 2012 or 2013 firearms wolf seasons, because that's all we're talking about, not the trapping part of it, to make sure that people know that we're not talking about trapping in this section. So on 10.21, before wolf, I would insert firearms. And then on 10.23, delete everything after the period, and then delete line 10.24.
Any questions, members? Hearing none, all in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Both same sign? Good.
Yeah, just to follow up on the difference in the hunting season, and then what happens should deer hunters in this scenario hit the quota, so there's no trapping season. Is there going to be an issue with that?
Mr. Don Carlos.
Mr. Chair, committee, DNR's proposal was to have a standalone season for a number of reasons. The issue about the quota, reaching the quota too quickly, the way this is written now, we would be allowed to set a separate quota for trapping. So take whatever the total quota is and set a portion aside for the trapping season or a standalone season. So virtually take the total quota and divide it into three different apportionments for the different seasons. And so we do feel it's very important to be able to test or to begin a trapping season, to begin a standalone hunting season so that we can evaluate hunter and trapper effectiveness. And we think it can be done even as this bill is written.
Mr. Chair, if I can comment on that too, that's the very reason it's written the way it is, to give them the flexibility. But one of those things is also to have part of the hunt during the rifle season so we can also measure what kind of results we have from that category. So next year we'll have statistics on all of them, so we'll have a pretty good sense of what we can do. You know, we know that places like Montana has an over-the-counter. It's a very inexpensive tag, and they end up getting about 1%. You know, I forget the number of tags they get, 50,000 or whatever, but they get about 1%. Kill rate. And so, but by having documentation from each of those types of hunts, we'll be able to make better decisions next year.
Members, any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Knopf.
I just wanted to point out on that issue, too, there is a sentence that wasn't in the original DNR bill, I think, on line 8.9 to 8.10. It says the commissioner shall reserve a portion of the annual quota for the trapping season. So there is language giving them direction to do that in the bill.
That's correct. Okay, members, any questions? Senator Gazelka, I just really appreciate your taking this bill and working with the DNR, and I certainly would expect the DNR is going to follow this through, and there will be some other tweaks, if you will. We call that tweaks around here to the bill before it gets to where it's going to go, and we really appreciate the work that you've done on this. So if there's no further questions from the committee.
Mr. Chair, there's other
Senator
people
Kielash.
On the agenda to testify.
Oh, I'm sorry. There is. I'm going way too fast here. Gary Leaf from Sportsmen for Change, as well as Tom Peterson, maybe they would come forward. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Gary Leaf with Sportsmen for Change. We're hunting and fishing advocacy group, and testifying in support of Senator Gazelka's bill. We think this is unquestionably probably the most historic hunting bill that's probably went through the legislature, given the nature of it. It's on the order of establishing pheasants in Minnesota, establishing a turkey population in Minnesota that's flourishing, and so on. And we believe it makes very small, modest adjustments to the DNR proposal. One, we've done a lot of outreach at various different events, and probably the number one question by hunters on this issue, even if they're not going to pursue it, is will people have opportunity? And by moving it more forward or coordinating it with the deer season, they do get a better chance at opportunity. They may not take one, but they'll get opportunity. The numbers, as this committee knows, is could possibly be quite low, and they may not even get to the quota of 400. It's been talked about in other states of 0.5% or 1% on hunting and so on. And so that, with the 400 quota, that's an issue that could be discussed at a later time. The other issue that might need to be discussed at a later time is the total number of licenses out there. Right now, the DNR's number is at 6,000. Some people have talked about some different numbers, higher numbers to allow more opportunity. We suspect that'll be discussed at a later time. But all in all, and including the license fee adjustments that were made to make it a little bit more cost efficient, let's say, because we want to not only get people in the first time, my concern is that with low hunter success, low opportunity, that a lot of people may decide They may not do it again, and a lot of them are going to be incidental to deer hunting anyway. It's not like they're going to be directly pursuing it, except in the case of trapping. So we would support the bill as Senator Gazilka has presented.
Mr. Leaf, it's fair to say that the sportsmen, I think, are certainly willing to give the DNR an opportunity to put a kind of a test year out there, if you will, for this. I think that seems to be fairly well received, and I think the senator certainly has approached it with that, and I think just in general that's certainly a good idea, and I think they understand that. I think statewide it would not be a fair guess.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have a lot of what the barroom biologists who have a whole range of approaches. We've ran into a lot of them, I think, on this. So everyone's got an opinion on it, but I think these are very modest changes to the DNR bill that will be well received. There might be some other changes that will come down the line and match it up in the conference committee and so on, but I think this bill will be well received and very historic for the state.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union, and we're also here to testify in support of Senate File 1945, creating a wolf and hunting and trapping season. I appreciate Senator Gazelka carrying this issue, which is one of our top priority issues. We've testified before in this committee about the reason for a wolf hunting season, and so I just want to say, echo a lot of what Mr. Leaf said. You know, the creation of a wolf management account and the dollars allocated seems good. And also the other thing our members feel really strongly about is the time of the deer hunting season starting, the wolf hunting season starting with the deer hunting season. We also had the question that Senator Skoy brought up about the how that's going to work when you get close to 400, if you're going to get dinged really bad on that. And so I also want to appreciate and encourage the DNR to keep working with the farm groups, too, especially into December and January of next year before we get started in early session, to look at these numbers. And we're kind of, I'll call them barnyard biologists. We're also willing to give this like a test year and see how it goes and go along with it. And appreciate the work of the DNR and hope that continues as we get done with this year and go into next. So thank you, sir.
Members, any questions? Well, we've heard from the barnyard biologist as well as the barroom biologist today, so this is a first for us. Thank you very much. Mr. Casey,
welcome. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm not on the agenda. Chris Raddatz representing Minnesota.
Mr. Casey, you can also have a seat up there as well.
Minnesota Farm Bureau, another barnyard biologist, I guess. Just wanted to let the committee know Farm Bureau does support the bill. The wolf issue is very real for farmers and ranchers in northern Minnesota. They are continuing to have problems with their livestock, and we just appreciate the work of Senator Gazelka, the committee, and the DNR in establishing this and moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Before Mr. Casey, then Mr. Clavin.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. Bruce Clavin. I represent the Minnesota State Cattlemen's. In 30 seconds or less, I'll tell the committee we've testified before. The 2 points we would make are found on lines 1.22 and 1.24, and that is where the money goes. The cattlemen are concerned about the management program that comes with state responsibility, and so they like that part of the bill. They would also share the concern that we do not want to fall below the number and get back on the federal list.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Clavin, I could have asked any one of the farm groups, but I got this when you're here. I'm a little concerned about the depredation account and the cost that the federal government has been carrying for federal trappers and et cetera under the state management plan. Have the farm groups talked amongst themselves or have any ideas about how we're going to fund those accounts?
Mr. Clavin.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Skoy, there has been some discussion not only amongst ourselves but also at the federal level with Secretary Vilsack's office. I haven't done it, but some of our folks have. That is a big concern. We have, so members know, we have two accounts. I think they're both run out of the department bag, one's for crop depredation, one's for livestock depredation. Those accounts are at or near zero and are chronically short each year. But that is a concern for everybody.
So, Mr. Chair, to the committee, is group of legislators goes to the budget next year, they're going to have to figure out a way to fund those accounts, because, and now, you know, we got to get to next year too, because we're going to have spring calving coming along pretty quick.
Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Clevin, those two accounts, you know, when they're full at the beginning of the year or when they've been appropriated, how much are they for generally?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, from memory, I think $150,000 for each one. $125,000, I'm being told. And okay. I think they're in the ag bill. If we had the ag bill, and maybe Mr. Mueller remembers, and I don't want to put him on the spot, but that's from memory. It's in the $105,000 area.
So Mr. Follow. Chair, and those are the ones that the Fish and Wildlife Service?
No.
Because the Fish and Wildlife Service, they also had an appropriation of what, $500,000?
Mr. Chairman,
do you know that answer?
I do not know that answer.
We're in the process, I think, of looking it up right now. So,
okay.
And Mr. Chair, a couple things that the federal depredation program. I know they have $125,000 for this April through June will be available, and then the other major thing that's changed is if you're in Zone B, and you have an animal or livestock, you can shoot a wolf anytime for any reason. So that's different. And if you're in Zone A, if there's immediate danger, you can shoot. So that started again in January, so that's a whole new component we did not have before.
Mr. Knopf has some answers for us.
Well, Mr. Chair, as far as what the feds spend, and we have to distinguish between depredation and basically control. What they do is they spend money on control. You may want to get somebody from the DNR up to talk about whether or not the U.S. Fish, whether or not they'll be paying predator controllers this year at all for any of those activities. But the money that's in the bill will be able to be used for that. When you're talking about depredation, that's the actual payment for the lost animals. And this last session in 2011, the Department of Ag was appropriated $75,000 per year for wolf depredation and $75,000 per year for crop damage from elk depredation. But now they can mix that money. If one program needs more money than the other, they can send it over there. So there's basically a total of $300,000 for the biennium for depredation. But as far as the predator controllers or the people to go out and control the animals, that's all has been through U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and that's what the new money could be used for the damage control.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and Mr. Sachs, Chair, I guess I just agree with Senator Scoy that it's something we have to know is coming down the pike.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you,
Mr. Casey.
I'm sorry, Corey.
I have Mr. Casey there already. I'm sorry. I'm going to let Mr. Bennett finish up, and then we'll go right into your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Corey Bennett, representing the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. I know time is short. Just very briefly, I want to thank Senator Gazelka for bringing this important issue forward. As one can imagine, in the Deer Hunters Association, this is our number one priority for the legislative session. And I really appreciate the chairman bringing this up today. This is a issue that dominated our corporate board meeting a couple of weeks ago in Grand Rapids. It took quite a bit of time in order for our corporation to actually go through this and hear from our membership. Four main things that came out from our discussions at that time. Number one, just stressing the importance of having a state management plan, not only now but certainly into the future. We understand that this is possibly a conservative approach. But our membership felt strongly in getting something into place, something that we can work with, and then adjust things and tweak things as we move into the future. So that was important. We thank the author for having the start of the season during the start of the deer hunting season. We think that was important. That's a second main issue for us. The third issue that was brought to our attention was the cost of the fees, and we certainly thank the senator for bringing that down to the level it is right now. We certainly want to bring as much participation from our deer hunters as possible into this season, so we appreciate that. One final thing, Mr. Chairman, just real quickly, that I would like to bring up as this bill does move forward, a suggestion or something to think about. The fourth thing that our association felt strongly about was looking at the management of the wolf season in two different ways, in two different A and B sections. Currently, under the plan that is moving forward. Right now, the management of the wolf season is within just the state as a whole. It doesn't break the state out, into sections A and B. We think that is important to look at that, because certainly the population of the wolf in those two different areas are different, and certainly it would give us a chance for possibly A to have more of the license and lottery picks in that area to try to manage that a little bit better. I know we talked with Senator Gazelka about that and many of you about that, so that'd be something we would like to explore as this bill moves forward. But with that, we want to thank the chairman and the senator for bringing this forward, and we would encourage support.
Members, any questions? Okay, I've had Mr. Casey up here a long time, and I'm not going to keep him back anymore.
However long you like.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Casey. My apologies for getting things mixed up here.
That's no problem. My name is Tom Casey. I'm not here representing anybody else. I'm here as a private citizen. I appeared before you on January 26th asking some questions, which I didn't expect you to answer, but I hope we have some questions today before you decide what to do with this bill. I'll rephrase these questions slightly. They were, number one, what's with this five-year moratorium, and why was it lifted or repealed? Number two, is the hunting and trapping season necessary, and I mean necessary at this time? Number three, what's the maximum number and maximum range for the wolf in Minnesota? What should that target be? And then how do we fund? Number four, how do we fund this program? So let me give you some thoughts that I have in answering that question, and I'd like to hear the senators and other experts here talk about this before you move this bill on. And I don't see there's any big rush to get the bill done anytime soon. So the moratorium, we go back to the Wolf Roundtable of 1998. There was a constituency of many groups, including hunting and trapping interests, the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, the Minnesota Trapping Association, and the Minnesota chapter of the Safari Club. At that Wolf Roundtable was also food producers, including the Farm Bureau, the Farmers Union, the lamb and wool producers, and the Minnesota turkey growers. There were also conservation organizations and Indian tribes represented at that Wolf Roundtable. They entered into a consensus that there would be a five-year moratorium. That was a deal. That was a deal cut at that time. And I saw nothing else that would change that. Now, that deal was enacted into statute 2 years later in 2000, where the Minnesota legislature put in a five-year moratorium on trapping and hunting after the wolf was delisted. That statute went into the wolf plan, which we just heard the deer hunters support is the state wolf plan. That wolf plan has in it a five-year moratorium. Again, a product of the legislature and the deal cut between a lot of the constituencies in this room. So, at this point in time, we question why there is a need for this plan to move forward, this current plan to move forward. I want to add, too, that in the monitoring plan enacted by the Fish and Wildlife Service in 2008, they also acknowledged that the wolf plans, in effect, and that's the wolf plan we talked about, including the five-year moratorium, is sufficient to conserve viable populations. So that's in the delisting monitoring plan of 2008. Now, we all know that the legislature in 2011 repealed the trapping and hunting moratorium, and I don't hear anything of record as to what the biological basis was for needing to repeal that moratorium that was already in place for 11 years and a deal cut by, as they say, so many constituencies. Even the delisting notice from the Fish and Wildlife Service that came out, as you know, in December of this year, which set the state management into January, it said even there, even though they acknowledged that there was a repeal, they said that the DNR should consider a harvest. It only allows, this is quotes right out of the Federal Register in 2011, they should consider it. The DNR may prescribe open seasons, and it only allows them to begin the decision-making process, and it doesn't say anything about that a hunting season is necessary. So that's my second question. Is it necessary?
There's nothing in the hearings that I've heard so far that says that there's any peer-reviewed need to have a wolf hunting season for population management purposes. The 12-month wolf hunting season is actually already in effect. As you've heard already testimony, you have a hunting season. It's year-round. In Zone B, if you think you need to shoot a wolf to protect your property, you get to do it. No questions asked. In fact, most people are going to honor that in a straight-up way, but we all know there's people that might deviate from that and decide to game the system, pardon the pun. A landowner who wants to set up his own hunting season can say, look, I'll lease your land. If you want to bring your pet here and you feel it's threatened, then you can shoot a wolf on my land. So that's what the effect of the legislature has right now in terms of options for wolves in Zone B. Of course, as you know, in Zone A, if you're threatened, you can still kill a wolf at that time to protect your guard animals and domestic animals and pets. So there's no need to increase it for another reason, is that we already know that the wolf population has been stable. Since 1998, the testimony from Mr. Meech and also the DNR has been that it really hasn't changed much since 1998. Therefore, there's no increased biological need to establish a wolf season. In fact, my third question is, and I think I have answered it, is what's the recommended maximum number of wolves in the range? I think that's what one of the senators asked in January 26th meeting, is that the DNR replied, there's no specific population goal. There's not a specific population goal. It's whatever the Minnesotans feel are socially tolerable. Well, we'll never know what the maximum socially tolerable wolf season or wolf level should be if we put in a hunting season already. What we're trying to do is test with the statutes that are already in play what's going to happen to the wolf population when everybody gets to understand what they can do now without a hunting season. And I read the State Cattlemen's February newsletter, and they have a very good piece here about what's happening now with the wolf plan and the wolf season and what they can do already as a cattleman to protect their livestock. So when the information comes out, we have sort of a double variable here that's going to be hard to figure out, and that's figuring out the difference between what you can take because you think you need to clear wolves off your land to protect your property and hunters who are doing that purely for sport purposes. And that was acknowledged by the DNR in January 26th, is that this is a sport hunting season only. It's not for population management purposes. So, again, why a hunt now? In terms of a pent-up demand, my final question is how do we fund a wolf management program? Is let's compare the pent-up demand for hunting versus the pent-up demand not to hunt or to see the wolves live. There are a couple of ways to do it, and I brought this up at your meeting, but I have a couple other ideas. You could have the state income tax form. On line 21, they have a non-game wildlife program fund contribution where you can, as part of your taxes, donate money to the non-game wildlife. You can put another line for a wolf fund if you want to for wolf management. You could even have a challenge where let's compare the pent-up demand. Let's figure out what your constituents want by having a challenge where if such what your goal is for wolf management, establish that goal. Let's say it's $1 million. You have, including the management of the fund, and then what you can do is have a challenge, whichever fund, that would be the wolf hunting fund and the wolf watching fund, and see which fund gets to the finish line first. And if you want to get rid of the big wigs, then you have a $100 maximum. That's one way of gauging demand on a wolf hunt and wolf management and what you really ought to do.
Mr. Casey, yes, I'm going to have to cut you short here pretty soon. Yep. These are all good points. I think that's what you're trying to make here. You're making your points as to why we shouldn't have a wolf season. As far as you asking questions of the committee, that's kind of a reverse role here. If you've got I certainly appreciate your concern and your questions, and I think this seems to be some of the things you could be talking to one of the sitting senators at the table before the meeting. They could then direct those questions at the author. But I think they're good. There's certainly good ideas here. The five-year moratorium, I can certainly answer that. That this body decided to eliminate that last year. That was brought to this body, and by majority we voted on that. So when the wolf was, and at that time there was talk about it being delisted, that we would, the DNR would be able to manage the high numbers that are, that a lot of the, I think a lot of the biological, and you say there's none, but there has been some biological evidence that we have an overabundance, and that's why we manage, and that's what we do. If we have too many deer, we manage deer. When we have too many other wildlife in the state of Minnesota, we manage them. The wolf should be no different. And those numbers now are high. I think we're the third largest number in the North American continent. There's come a time now, I think, that everybody's, not everybody, obviously not you, agree that we do have to manage. And I think you'll find there's plenty of evidence out there that the number that they're saying that we should have in Minnesota is in that 1,500 to 1,600 mark, and we're twice that now. So I think it's been certainly a good dialogue that you've brought to the meeting. Again, these are certainly good concerns and questions, but I would encourage you very, very much to talk to the author after this committee hearing, because it has at least two more stops. And if you have those questions, and he can probably answer them without taking up too much of the committee's time here, because we do have to move on. So I really appreciate it. Members, do you have any questions? We do have some other witnesses as well. I think Mr. Ganosti wants to come up. But any questions of Mr. Casey?
Mr. Chairman, yeah. One final sentence. It's
real
my
quick,
understanding.
Real quickly, thank you.
Yes, it's one final sentence. My understanding is the quota that you said, 1,500 to 1,600 wolves, that's the minimum the Fish and Wildlife Service wants you to have. That's not a target goal. I've heard the DNR testify that that's the minimum. You're not trying to reach that. You're trying to not reach that.
Right. And I think that's pretty evident in the numbers that the DNR have come up with, and I think they're quite conservative. I think we talked in the last meeting that we're not here to run the gray wolf out of the state of Minnesota. That's not the intention of this committee at all. It's to manage it just like we manage any other animal. So. Okay. The Audubon Society would like to testify. I see you do have a letter in here. Is that correct? Welcome to the committee.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. My name is Don Arnosti. I represent the National Audubon Society members here in Minnesota with Audubon Minnesota. There's a lengthy position. I'm not going to read it to you. It's in your packet, but I do want to highlight a few thoughts for your consideration. I'm going to start out to make sure that you're understanding our position. I'm just going to read two sentences from it having to do with National Audubon's hunting policy. The National Audubon Society historically has not assumed a position either for or against hunting. We do not promote hunting, nor do we oppose hunting, so long as it does not adversely affect wildlife populations and is done legally and in keeping with the principles of good sportsmanship. We don't believe the bill in question here would violate that policy. We don't believe that what is being talked about would adversely affect the population of the wolf. However, there are real concerns we have for the implementation of the wolf management plan, which you've heard about how laboriously this was developed and how many interests, including the Audubon Society, participated in it more than a dozen years ago. And we have real concern about deviation from that plan for a variety of reasons, one of which is the fact that there was so much effort, time, and energy by these diverse groups to strike a balance, which is what you folks always seek in your legislating. And I'd like to just mention what is contained in that wolf plan includes population monitoring that includes determination of human-caused mortality, population management that calls for continued expansion of wolf populations and establishing that minimum to keep us away from the Endangered Species Act, but no maximum, a comprehensive wolf damage management program, which is not fully funded at this point, including state-administered certified predator controllers, strong enforcement of the law with fines up to $3,000 and restitution up to $2,000, which sends a strong signal about stay within the law, information and education programs, and at least 5 dedicated DNR wolf program staff, 2 in program direction and research and 3 in enforcement. Our concern is I don't think you have any plan to fund this full plan. And that's a real concern because this is a balanced package that was brought forward. And what we're hearing is a lot of guessing about what the various components of this may cost. I don't believe you have the kind of money in front of you that is really going to fully fund this. And our concern is that we have seen time and time again that in wildlife management, right now the Game and Fish Fund is below water, as we know, or headed below water. We're struggling to find the support to increase fees a small amount to deal with aquatic invasive species, which is not what we're talking about here. But here we are embarking on a bold new venture that has a lot of people involved and concerned about it. There's an opportunity to launch it right. Right is not just about the hunting season. Right is about the full management plan, where there's a lot involved in that. And I don't even believe that the DNR has really fully thought through all of the components and all of the costs, as illustrated by some of the conversation here about how much was the federal trapping going to be? Do we have the restitution funds? Now is the time to get this right. We think that the full plan ought to be implemented. We believe the plan that was put in law in 2001 is a balanced plan and is an appropriate plan, and really urge you to go very cautiously on this. We do acknowledge and recognize the generally conservative approach that is being taken right now. We don't support the notion of moving forward with this discretionary take, which is what it amounts to, which is different than the control and some of the population monitoring and restitution. You know, if we're going to do that, though, this may be the opportunity to properly fund the full wolf plan, and that's something that you really need to pay attention to.
Thank you. Appreciate Thank you. Your concerns. Thank you. Mr. Sagan, is it?
Sagan, unless you're good Norwegian, it would be Sagan, but well, Sagan will...
All Norwegians are good. We know that.
Okay.
We do have several other bills, so please, if I could keep your comments short, and we can move on. Thank
I'll
you
do my
much.
Best.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Brad Sagan. I am a resident of Fall Lake Township, and I am the chair of Northeastern Minnesotans for Wilderness. Wolves visit our property near Ely with some frequency. I respect them. I do not fear them. And Northeastern Minnesotans for Wilderness wishes to voice its opposition to Senate File 1945 and similar legislation that includes a proposed 2012-13 wolf hunting and trapping season. NMW also advocates a permanent ban on wolf hunting in the BWCAW. NMW comments will focus on the potential negative impacts of hunting of wolves in the boundary waters and the failure of the Minnesota DNR to consider the special circumstances and special problems associated with hunting wolves in the BW. The guiding principle of wilderness management is that wilderness be untrammeled, that is, that it have as little human disturbance as possible. As applied to wildlife, that means let nature manage nature has managed the BW by maintaining a balance between the wolf as alpha predator and prey. Public hunting of wolves would constitute a significant human disturbance of the BW and its role in the much larger Quetico Superior ecosystem. Regardless of any direct impact on wolves, wolf hunting would be a substantial violation of the untrammeled quality of wilderness required by the 1964 Act. That act, the state under that act maintains state responsibility for wildlife and wilderness subject to federal protections such as the Endangered Species Act. And if you have my written statement, I want to slightly reworded the next comment, make it more carefully correct. Federal regulations preclude trapping in the BWCAW because bait, that is food, and traps, that is gear, may not be left unattended. Wolf hunting in the BW should be considered a substantial violation of the untrammeled quality of wilderness, and hunting of wolves should be banned permanently in the BW. Hunting, especially in the BW, would disturb wolf survival, wolf reproduction, and the genetic diversity of the Minnesota wolf population. Wolves, especially in wilderness, live in packs with a defined social structure. Killing of alpha wolves disrupts pack structure and pack activity, such as hunting for prey. The pack itself might fragment or disperse. Reproduction in a pack is limited to a relatively few males and females, and killing of one or more of these animals could disrupt reproduction in the pack. Pack disruption would promote greater wolf movement with perhaps greater movement outside the BW. Wolf hunting in the BW could result in isolated wolf packs developing genetic problems because of constrained movement. And next, electronic technologies proposed to avoid exceeding an annual hunt quota are not feasible in the BWCAW. Overharvest is likely. The hunting proposals embodied in current legislation and envision an initial annual quota of perhaps 400, but with a sale of perhaps 6,000 licenses, and hunting curtailed via electronic communications as soon as the quota is reached. That proposal is simply not feasible in large portions of the BWCAW, where cell phone and radio communications are not possible or are intermittent. There is no evidence that DNR is considered the special situation of the BW in wolf management, nor the special problems a hunting season in the BW would create. DNR should conduct specific studies of wolves in the BW and the potential impacts and problems a wolf hunt would have for wolves in Minnesota and for the BW. The Minnesota legislature is attempting to micromanage a complex wildlife situation, and I see that you've reduced some of that micromanagement today by granting the commissioner more discretion.
Mr. Sagan, if I could,
yes.
Members, I think you have a
okay.
Do you have one in your packet? Just in the interest of brevity, I think we'll let everybody finish your
okay.
Very well put together document here.
I would like the opportunity just to state our major conclusions that hunting of wolves should be banned permanently in the BWCAW, and that the Minnesota legislature, state agencies, and elected officials should abide by the terms of the Minnesota Wolf Management Plan as adopted in February 2001. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Any questions, members? Senator Kielash.
Senator Gazalka, the DNR with this bill has the ability to limit or the trapping and hunting in the BWC, does it not?
Chair, Senator Kielash, that's correct.
Rulemaking. So, okay, thank you. I just want to make that clear, make sure I was clear on that. Thank you.
Mr. Sagan, I may just make a comment if I could. When we talk about the Boundary Water canoe area, we do now allow fishing, camping, grouse, deer, and moose hunting now. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Thank you very much. Gentleman from the Humane Society, please identify yourself.
Mr. Chair.
Welcome.
My name is Howard Goldman. I'm the Minnesota State Director from the Humane Society of the United States. I'll try to make my comments brief.
Please.
First of all, we appreciate your comments, Mr. Chair, regarding the management. As you know, I testified back on January 26th. I will not repeat my testimony. I just want to restate how careful we have to be in managing this species. It was on the brink of extinction. Numbers were as low as 400 when it was listed on the endangered species list. Problems with livestock has been raised again. As I noted in my earlier testimony, there were only 91 verified cases of livestock depredation, cows and calves, in wolf territory last year. That's out of a population of 165,000 cows. That's less than 1/10 of 1%. The only reason I mention that is to give some perspective to this. We understand it's an issue, but it's very, very low percentage. The third point I wanted to make is that, and this was also mentioned by Brad a moment ago, is we don't know the impact the season will have on recovering populations. This has also become an issue in Wisconsin because they're debating the very same process in the state of Wisconsin right now. Legally, landowners can take a wolf. If a wolf is on their property, if they're depredating livestock and or domestic animals, and this, we think, should be the basis for any wolf management program. Minnesotans care deeply about their wolves, and we're hoping that, of course, the next step in the process will be hearings that are conducted throughout the state.
Very good.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Any questions, members? Well, we certainly appreciate your testimony, as always, and caring about all animals in the state of Minnesota, as this committee does very, very seriously, does an awful lot of work in regards to managing those animals, and we take it very serious. So, any
Thank
further
you, Mr.
testimony?
Chair.
I have Catherine Zimmer. And then Catherine Zimmer is on the list here. Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Chair Ingebrigtsen and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak. And I am here representing a constituency that I don't think all of you have heard much from. And
Just please identify yourself for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. You introduced me.
my name I is sometimes don't get the names right, so that's why I have to have you repeat them.
I was trying to be brief. My name is Catherine Zimmer. Just by background, I am a small business owner and certainly am a taxpayer in the state of Minnesota. But I'm here representing a constituency that I don't think that you have often heard from, and I think that's primarily because this constituency are working Minnesotans, we all have day jobs. I'm fortunate enough to have been able to take some time off today. But there's a very large constituency in Minnesota of wildlife watchers. And we are not hunters or fisher people or anglers, so to speak, but we actually watch wildlife. And our constituency, according to the DNR's 2006 report, Wildlife Recreation and Tourism Considerations, we number over 2 million. And that number is four times as many as there are hunters in the state of Minnesota. And then it would follow, of course, that we spend more money on our recreation than hunters. I currently live in St. Paul. However, I lived for a number of years in your district, Senator Ingebrigtsen, on Maple Lake. And I still have friends in the Alexandria area, and they are also wildlife watchers. I know that I have visited probably every one of the senator's districts on this committee as a wildlife watcher and a tourist. I've been to every state park in the state and a number of times. And I've contributed to the economy of those areas by my tourism activities. I also have family and friends in Brainerd and Hibbing, and again, these people are wildlife watchers, not hunters. I have concerns regarding the proposed wolf season. First and foremost is kind of my own self-interest, and that is a cull of wolves. What I have heard numbers of upwards of 400 diminishes my ability to see a wolf by about 400 times. And I think we all could agree that seeing a live wolf is a lot more exciting than seeing a dead wolf hanging on somebody's wall or being used as carpet. And so a significant cull of these animals diminishes my opportunity for recreation. My other concern is that the hunt is being conducted really without a scientific basis. We just recently delisted this animal after numbers of years on the Endangered Species Act or on the Endangered Species List. And our wolf population really has not significantly changed in the last 10 years here in Minnesota. And that's both that's DNR information. Also, the numbers are similar, or the stop population stability is also similar in Wisconsin. And I attribute that to also some other information put forth by the Minnesota DNR that some studies that they've done at Camp Ripley show greater than 50% mortality of wolves. And these are wolves during the period where they were still listed. So we had 53% of those animals killed. And six out of the 16 that were killed illegally while they were either poisoned or shot. So I'm concerned that we really don't know enough about our stable population before we start hunting them and start decreasing the population and maybe getting it back to that level where we're going to have to put it back on the endangered species list and spend lots more money trying to get the population back up. I'm also concerned, as Mr. Arnosti spoke about, the fact that we have a state wolf management plan and we had a five-year moratorium, and that was repealed in the special session. I don't think there was adequate public input in that, and I find it ironic that that this bill calls for significant public input, but we didn't get to really input on repealing the moratorium that so many people worked diligently on to put in place. Just a couple more comments. I would ask that in addition to reinstating the moratorium, that we eliminate trapping. You've all heard the recent press about animals being caught or pets being caught in traps. I've seen photos of animals caught in traps. They're horrific. They're inhumane. It's a horrible way for anything to die. I wouldn't want my pets caught in one when I am out wildlife watching or walking in the woods. And I certainly don't want to see any other animals caught in one either. I think it's just horrific. And I just don't think that that's a way we need to manage animals in any way, shape, or form. And lastly, if you decide to go forward with this season without strongly considering the moratorium and the plan that was already put in place, I would ask that you have a standalone season for the wolf so we can at least gather some data about how the hunting season will proceed. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ness.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lance Ness, president of the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Alliance. Real quickly, Mr. Chairman, we support the bill, and I just want to give a recognition to our Senator Amy Klobuchar, too, for her hard work in the federal Senate to get the bill moved through and off the endangered species. So we support the bill, and we would thank the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, we've had some tremendous discussion here for our first time around with the wolf bill here, and again, it's a trial. It's a trial year for the DNR, and I think they've approached it on a conservative measure here. So if there's no further discussion, I'm sorry, Mr. Knopf has something that we have to adopt here.
Well, Mr. Chair, there was a mention that the House bill had the right amendment for the language to change the rules on snares. And what I did was I had the copy of the House Delete Everything Amendment at least with, and I think this is the language that Ms. Don Carlos was talking about. So if you wanted to adopt Section 78 from that document to replace Section 23 in the bill, in other words, you would just take Section 78 from the A120700 document and amend that to replace Section 23, which starts on the bottom of page 9 and ends on page 10, line 20, I think you would get the right language at this point in time rather than having to amend it in the next committee stop, if that's okay with everyone.
Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, I believe I would consider that a friendly amendment that would save us some time.
He should just move it.
So Senator Gazelka moves this amendment to Senate File 1945. Any further discussion? I'm sorry, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for having to step out. The reason I stepped out was the question about the use of snares. And I haven't had a chance to read this through fully, but does this also include the ability for the trappers to leave the snares unattended for 3 days as they do on other traps?
Mr. Chair, no.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding, Dean, I can get up, but it's my understanding that snares need to be checked every day. It's only water set traps that can be.
So it won't affect that.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if I know that there's a significant amount of interest on the trapper's part to be able to only visit the snares every 3 days like they do on some of the traps. And I'm just wondering if that would also be able to be incorporated, is if we're going to do rulemaking on snares, if we might not be able to do that on this one.
Mr. Chair, Senator Tomasoni had a bill in to do that. I think it was on the agenda at one time and pulled from the agenda.
Well,
but there was a bill introduced by Senator Tomasoni. I don't know where the bill is going, but there's a separate bill that deals with that issue.
Is it Senator Carlson?
And so, Mr. Chair, and that's exactly why I'm bringing it up now. We just visited briefly with Senator Tomasoni that rather than hear that as a separate bill, that this might be an appropriate place to put it. But I'm not sure. Maybe Mr. Knopf.
We're talking about the wolf bill here now. We're not talking about the trapping bill. Is that different?
Mr. Chair, that would apply to all snares, not just snares for wolves. That bill would apply to all of them. And okay. We don't have the language in front of us. It actually amends another section of statute.
We'll ask the DNR to come up. And Mr. Bogus, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I would just go on the record as saying that the DNR has significant concerns over Senator Tomasoni's bill that's been introduced. We do allow a three-day check for conibear traps, which I know we're going to be talking more about later in this committee, because those are designed to be a quick-killing device. A snare is not a quick-killing device. You can have animals remain alive in snares for days at a time. So we do support current law on conibear traps, which allows for a three-day check because animals do not survive for any length of time in those traps. But snares are a whole different device. Animals can remain alive for long periods of time. And so we would have concerns about going to a three-day check for snares. And we certainly could talk more about that either now or when that bill is before the committee.
I think we'll do it then. We're going to let Mr. Knopf restate the amendment here.
Mr. Chair, the amendment that Senator Gazelka will be moving is on page 9 of the bill. Delete section 23 and insert lines 35.20 to 36.19 from the document labeled A12-0700.
Members, is that clear? Senator Gazelka moves this amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Anything further on this, on Senate file 1945? Hearing none, Senator Gazelka, to the bill.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that Senate File 1945 pass. I'm not sure where it goes, as amended.
As amended state government.
This would be laid over for possible inclusion in a game and fish bill and referred to state government and innovation. Any further question? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Senator Dames, we're going to deviate a little bit from the schedule today. Members, I'm going to throw this reminder out to everybody. This was the first bill with regards to the gray wolf, and we certainly left some latitude here for testifiers. And members, this is directed to you. If you have any testifiers on bills from this point forward, after today, please get a hold of the committee administrator and get them on the agenda, because we do need to move along with some of these. We will be breaking at 4:30, Mr. Senator Dames, and members. We're going to be coming back at 6:30. So, Senator Dames to Senate File 2260.
Mr. Chair and members, for the record, I'm Senator Dames, introducing Senate File Number 2260. Approximately a year ago, I carried a bill that changed the time period. It gave us two more years to work out some details for the sub-sewage treatment process. And today we're here to present the bill that actually is a bill for an act relating to the environment, providing for alternative local standards for subsurface treatment systems. So with that said, I'd like to call Anna Lee Garlays. Anna Lee is from the Association of Minnesota Counties.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Anna Lee Garlitz, and I'm with the Association of Minnesota Counties. And I'd like to start by thanking Senator Dames for, again, carrying a bill on septic systems for the Association of Minnesota Counties. As the senator noted, last year we were here asking for an extension in the time that counties had to adopt septic system ordinances. That was, it allowed counties to have a little bit more breathing room and a little bit more time to adopt the ordinances, and also allow us some time to work with the Pollution Control Agency to try to identify ways to offer counties a little bit more flexibility when it comes to adopting those ordinances. Over the interim, we sat down and we had several discussions. AMC leadership, along with leadership of the Pollution Control Agency, had several discussions about how we could find ways to offer some flexibility, and I am happy to say that sitting here before you today to ask for your support on Senate File 2260, a bill that offers counties some flexibility in terms of adopting local ordinances. In addition to this bill, there's some non-statutory changes that PCA has offered that will allow other flexibility to counties when it comes to adopting these new ordinances. And I think Mr. Kudelka might get into that just a little bit, but we wanted to focus on the bill and the flexibilities that that offers. Going forward, AMC does still plan on working with the Pollution Control Agency to continue to work out questions and other interpretation questions that we might have with the rules. So this, we do not intend for this to be the end. As with all rules, it's an ongoing game of trying to figure out how the interpretation is, how we roll these out in all of the counties. So we do plan on continuing our discussions with PCA as we go forward. But from here, I'll turn it over to Mr. Kudelka for details on how this bill offers some counties some flexibility.
Members, any questions from Ms. Garlitz? Mr. Kudelka, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Kirk Kudelka. I'm the legislative director with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And as it was mentioned, AMC and PCA and MCPISA, which is the Minnesota Association of County Planning and Zoning Administrators, have worked over the summer and fall on implementing the SSTS rules. And during those discussions, there was a lengthy talk about alternative local standards, which is currently allowed in the rules and previous rules for certain situations. And so I'd just like to real quick highlight one of the handouts, and I'll just really briefly touch on the letter, on the January 19th letter here. The day before Thanksgiving, leadership from AMC, MCPISA, and MPCA got together for a proposal that would move forward, and we'll bring a closure to the issue on the 2008 rules. And it really contained a couple of parts. And the first part is what is before us as Senate File 2260. As I mentioned, the former rules and the current rules allow for alternative local standards for counties to create for their ordinances for SSTS in non-shoreland areas. As we started investigating what flexibility alternative local standards allowed in other areas, it became clear that there needed to be a change in statute to allow for alternative local standards, effectively the 2006 rules, to be used for individual residential systems in shoreland areas. And that's what the Senate file does, is it makes that change in Minnesota law that would allow for alternative local standards, specifically the 2006 standard rules, for residential systems with residential strength waste if they meet the caveats listed in the letter, which is 3 feet of separation. That was the first part of the proposal. The other is to allow for increased help to counties and to designers on for advanced systems. So those are systems over 2,500 gallons, usually those that are food and beverage, lodging, location, or more than 8 or 9 residential systems in one cluster system. So there was a discussion last year about there possibly being 30 or so of these systems a year and the need the question of the need for the counties to have folks trained in this area if they may not see one except for once for every 5 years. So what the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has proposed to the counties and they've accepted and will move forward with is creating a master contract which would keep the permitting for these larger systems, stronger systems, with the counties. They would go to a master contract that's controlled by the PCA, which would have a list of private and public licensees who can do the work for the county. For instance, if a county has someone on staff, they can share that with other counties or a private person, and then would do the work for the county, and then the bill would come to the state using Clean Water Fund legacy dollars that were allocated last year. So this would allow for counties still to permit these systems in their jurisdictions. It would give counties that don't see these type of systems very often flexibility that would allow for them to have someone do the work and then also not have to go through the additional cost of training someone full-time on staff. In addition to that, we'll be making some changes with the licensure, creating something between the basic and advanced that would allow for some of the systems we're seeing put in shoreland, so that would require less training for counties to approve them, their staff to approve them, and for folks to implement them, because it'll focus in more narrowly on those which are more the residential systems or using registered products, which you can plug and play for food and beverage lodging facilities and a smaller side instead of knowing everything you need to know for the massive systems. We believe this allows additional flexibility for the counties and creates an ease of implementation of the rules. And these last two items I just discussed were things that the MPCA is already working on. It does not need legislation. We're moving forward with. That's what I'll just wrap it up at that if there's any other questions. Quick, one other note. The March 5th letter to AMC from PCA just explains the legislation in a little plainer English other than the legalese that's sitting in the bill itself. So if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Members, any questions of the testifiers? Hearing none, Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair, I'd move that the bill be passed and referred to Finance Committee.
State government, Finance. That'd be state government, Senator Dames.
Could change then to state government.
Okay, motion by Senator Dames to pass Senate File 2260. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, thank you. And members, we're going to stand in recess till 6 o'clock.